Welcome to Journal Club for December 2nd, 2024. I'm Malcolm Dix. If you live in a region with an autonomous taxi pilot program, your local evening news is probably having a field day with all the ridiculous and often hilarious mistakes that these cars are making. Some of these mistakes are issues with sensors, some are issues with training, and some are issues with law enforcement, like the viral video of the cruise car in SF a couple years ago that got pulled over by the police and for some reason drove away during the traffic stop. But a lot of the issues lately have been stemming not from the robo-taxis interacting with the environment, but actually from the robo-taxis interacting with each other. They've been driving the residents in certain neighborhoods in SF crazy at night because they'll all pull into the same parking lot and then spend hours honking at each other as they each try to navigate the congested area. Or they'll all pick the same street to double park in while they wait for passengers and effectively block the entire road for each other and any other cars that are trying to get through. These kinds of issues are not problems with sensors or actuators, they're problems of coordination. Coordination in robotics is a whole thing. It involves quite a lot. In general, for two separate autonomous systems to coordinate on a task, the control algorithms, sensor data processing logic, and dependencies in concurrently executing software components have to synchronize. Resources like memory and sensor data need to be shared. It's non-trivial, but it's something we desperately need. As society demands smarter, more autonomous robotic systems capable of performing complex tasks with high precision, the desire for coordination mechanisms changes from a want to a need. Whether robots are operating on the road, or in a warehouse, or in our homes, we are approaching, and arguably have already reached, the point where coordination is necessary. But how? It's way easier said than done. That's where this paper comes in. The authors are introducing structures and patterns for autonomous robots to coordinate. Before we get to what they propose, let's look back at some history. Coordination mechanisms in robotics have been a long time coming. Early approaches relied exclusively on finite state machines to model discrete behaviors within individual robotic activities, defining states and transitions based on input events. These models were effective for single robot applications, but prove insufficient for multi-robot coordination, where shared resources and concurrent tasks introduce additional challenges. To address these issues, Petri nets emerged as a robust solution, extending FSM concepts by representing system-wide states and transitions through a network of places, states, and transitions, events. Petri nets are particularly useful in modeling concurrent processes because they use tokens to track the system's current state, enabling synchronization and decision-making across multiple components. Another critical innovation was shared memory architecture, which allows different system components to access common data structures directly, ensuring fast and efficient communication between concurrently running processes. Multi-robot systems introduce unique challenges in coordination, particularly in dynamic and resource-constrained scenarios. A common example is the T-junction scenario, described in the paper, where robots approach a shared intersection from different directions and must navigate without collision. Here, the crossing area is a shared resource, requiring coordinated access to ensure safety and efficiency. Without proper coordination, systems risk deadlocks, where robots block one another indefinitely, or task-sharing inefficiencies, where resources are underutilized. The paper addresses these challenges through a mediator, a dedicated software component that oversees resource allocation. By employing Petri nets, the mediator can monitor the state of each robot, manage access requests, and ensure smooth transition between states. This approach enables task sharing by allowing robots to cooperate effectively while maintaining their autonomy, solving critical coordination problems, and paving the way for scalable, real-time multi-robot systems. I glazed over FSMs and Petri nets a moment ago, so let's double back and go a little deeper now. FSMs, finite state machines, are structured models used to represent the discrete behavior of a system or a process. An FSM operates as a collection of states, transitions, and events. Each state represents a specific condition or mode of operation, while transitions define how the system moves between states in response to events. For example, a robot's navigation FSM may include states such as idle, or navigating, and arrived, with transitions triggered by events like start command received or destination reached. FSMs are deterministic, meaning that for any given state and event, there's a clearly defined transition to the next state. This makes FSMs well-suited for managing single activities, where the sequence of actions must follow precise and predictable logic. PetriNets, on the other hand, are more complex and powerful models designed to handle the coordination of multiple activities or agents, especially in scenarios involving concurrency. A PetriNet consists of places, which represent conditions or states, transitions, which represent events or actions, and tokens, which represent presence or absence of a condition. The system state is defined by the distribution of tokens across places, known as the marking. Transitions are enabled when all their input places have tokens. Firing a transition removes tokens from the input places and adds tokens to the output places, effectively altering the system state. Unlike FSMs, PetriNets allow multiple states to coexist and progress in parallel, making them ideal for modeling complex multi-agent systems where coordination between robots is required. In the context of this paper, PetriNets provide a declarative model for decision-making in shared resources. They achieve this through data structures specifically designed for low-latency execution, including arrays for mapping transitions in places, circular buffers for processing events asynchronously, and marking history arrays to track process states. Before we move on, let's take a second to talk about circular buffers. A circular buffer, unlike a standard linear buffer, is a data structure that uses a fixed-size block of memory to manage data in a cyclic manner. When the end of the buffer is reached, new data overwrites the oldest data at the beginning of the buffer, effectively wrapping around without the need for reallocation. This makes circular buffers highly efficient for scenarios like event queues, where data is processed in the order it arrives and memory needs to be reused dynamically. By ensuring continuous and non-blocking data flow, circular buffers avoid the overhead of memory resizing or data shifting, a limitation of traditional buffers when they fill up. In this implementation, circular buffers are employed to handle the asynchronous exchange of events, maintaining consistency with memory barriers to ensure data integrity during concurrent reads and writes. Memory optimization is further enhanced by aligning these buffers on cache lines, reducing latency and improving cache coherence. These design choices, combined with compact bit arrays for state marking and minimized buffer sizes, ensure the PetriNet operates efficiently. The paper demonstrates the proposed coordination mechanisms through a traffic management scenario involving autonomous mobile robots, AMRs, navigating a T-junction. In this setup, multiple AMRs shared a constrained space where collisions must be avoided, and access must be sequenced efficiently. A mediator component, implemented using a PetriNet, serves as the central coordinator for this interaction. The PetriNet models the state of each robot as tokens within the system, enabling the mediator to track which robots have entered, exited, or are waiting to access the shared space. Access control protocols are established through acquire-release mechanisms. Robots request entry into the T-junction, and the mediator grants or denies access based on their current state and priority. For example, when an emergency robot approaches, the mediator ensures it has priority by modifying the PetriNet state to reflect its precedence, signaling other robots to pause or reroute. Which, to drive the point home here, could have helped that cruise car avoid that fire truck a year ago. In a secondary demonstration, they extend this concept to a warehouse docking station scenario involving heterogeneous AMRs. Here, robots of varying sizes must navigate shared docking areas. The mediator adapts its coordination protocol to accommodate two smaller robots docking simultaneously or one larger robot occupying the space. This dynamic allocation highlights the flexibility of PetriNet-driven coordination in managing complex interactions among diverse agents. Insights from this experiment emphasize the robustness of the mediator design in maintaining efficient throughput while preventing conflicts, even in systems with varying agent capabilities. While the coordination mechanisms effectively handle controlled scenarios, the study acknowledges challenges in scalability and adaptability to unexpected behaviors. Beyond experimental validation, these coordination techniques hold significant potential in industries like logistics and manufacturing, where resource sharing and synchronization are critical. For example, warehouse robots coordinating shelf replenishment or assembly line bots sharing tooling resources could benefit from such structured, real-time coordination systems. In the wild, however, especially in the streets of a major city, it's harder to see how this would work. Where the mediator would live, how the agents would access it, etc. More work and research will certainly need to be done in that area before we could ever see this on the streets of SF. So what can we learn and take away from this today? Well, coordination mechanisms in robotics represent more than just tools for managing interactions. They embody a step towards creating systems that can work together harmoniously in complex, shared environments. Shared roads, shared workplaces, shared homes. As we look to the future, advancing coordination mechanisms will require not only technical refinement, but also a deeper understanding of how machines can adapt to and learn from their environments. And more to the point, we're all going to need to build and trial a lot more data structures and patterns in the coming years until we find workable solutions for the coordination problem. Are Petri nets and mediators the answer? Maybe. It's up to all of us to figure that out. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.